I have a question that keeps coming up, and I was reminded of it again in Veronica's newscast.
What was it?
The question was regarding death by lethal injection. And I know there's been a whole years-long story about this, that the companies that supplied the drugs previously now no longer do it because they have problems with it. Why don't they use the same stuff we use for dogs? I've had some dogs put down. It's a perfectly lovely, the first shot sort of puts them to sleep, and the second shot stops their heart. Why? Every time this comes up, I think this, and now I'm able to ask it to a larger audience.
So the best people to answer this would be the bosses of prisoners.
Or a doctor.
A doctor.
Or a vet. I mean, if you need 10
What is it called? Nembutal?
Nembutal, and then there's another one. I don't know, but why can't they use... If it works for a dog, why can't it work for a human?
Okay, so you just got a dog yesterday.
And I did. I did,
And look
yes.
where your
She's
mind
She's an
goes.
Old girl. She's an old girl. But, yeah, I have always wondered about that. And if you know the answer, 312-981-7200, please call us or text us. Because it just seems to me to be such a curious thing.
Well,
that
it seems like
so
an easy
hard.
Situation to remedy.
Why is that?
Because how expensive can the drug be? I mean, obviously.
It's not about expense, apparently. It's about.
Well, do you know the answer?
No, I used to know somebody that owned a drug company that used to supply those drugs. He no longer is involved.
Some.
No,
oh.
He no longer isn't. No, he's still very much alive, but I just don't understand. All right, here. Now, Mike, I'm not alone on this, right?
Hi, Kathy. Yeah. You know, I've often wondered the same thing, although not regarding putting down a beloved pet, but, you know, these entertainers that have recently died. Prince being most recent, I forget what the drug is that they've been using, and you know, it's pretty well known. It's used, you know, in medicine all the time. But it seems to be something that just eventually just puts them to sleep. There doesn't seem to be any, you know. Big
I think it's painkillers that they've died. What oxy?
No, it's not painkillers. It's a drug that stops their heart.
Yeah, I thought Michael Jackson's doctor gave him the same thing.
That's that was propofol. That right. That was
Listen
a
to this girl. She's got a drug chart in her brain.
Fun. You get it when
you know, apparently from everything I've read, that just it causes the heart to stop and they go to sleep.
What do you
if
mean? You take enough of it.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah.
You think it's fun, Kath? Did you ever?
Well, propofol is they use it for anesthesia, but not in the amounts apparently that got Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes
you could overdose, but
right.
Yeah, but
I think they may even use propofol for sort of twilight sleep, for colonoscopies
yeah.
and stuff
why
like that.
Use that to inflict the death penalty on somebody that puts them just quietly away. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Because some of them have been horrible. I mean, some of these have taken 2 hours because they keep adding stuff. And
so, who we really want to talk to is somebody who's an anesthetizologist.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well, exactly.
You know,
I never understood that. Yeah. Okay, Kathy.
All right, Mike. Glad you were listening.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, all you anesthesiologist girlfriends
and veterinarians.
Right.
Right. 312-981-7200. Why couldn't we use the same drugs for lethal injection for death penalty criminals that we use for animals?
Well, and those of us who are in the. You know, what is it called that I support?
The world.
No. What
it's
do
like
I support
go,
very
what's that
fervently?
Thing with four wheels that you drive? Car? Yes.
No. Right. No, I fervently support.
Death with dignity.
Death with dignity.
And compassion and choices.
Compassion
right.
and choices.
Right.
Thank you for reminding me of
what you
my
support.
Passions. So
yes.
I think that, you know, that's the question that always bedevils us, which is if a dog can go so readily to sleep,
right?
You know, give me five times that amount, and
right. Why can't
I'd take the golden
right.
needle too,
right? Well,
I call
it's 100 Seconal.
It's 100 Seconal,
right?
Now, why do you know this
from that movie, from How to Die in Oregon? from that from the documentary.
You remember that? I saw that like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's the prescription, 100 Seconal. You break them up and stir them up in water, and you know, and for the people in that documentary, it was really fast and easy.
This is the second time this morning your memory has amazed me and made
really
me feel
and then yeah
cognitively shabby.
Oh well, cognitively. I'm at a peak right now. Give me another 15 minutes and I'll be in a valley.
Okay.
312-981-7200 is our number. You can give us a call or you can give us a text, and we'll be back after this. Kathy and Judy back. Our number is 312-981-7200. And we were just talking about, Veronica had a story in the 10 o'clock news, another one of those stories about a drug thing associated with a death penalty person, and it's been postponed. And I just said, why can't they just use 100 Seconal like you can do in Oregon if you choose to end your life? Or why can't they use the same thing they use for dogs when we put our dogs down? Hey, Kathy, what do you know?
It's not that they don't have the medicine to do it. It's that the drug companies don't want their product associated with killing people. And in some states, they've made it illegal to bring in those drugs. That's why there's been this scramble to get drugs. And some states have even brought in illegal drugs from the country that still makes them.
Now, are you in the pharmaceutical industry?
No, not at all.
Are you a lobbyist?
No, not at all.
She just knows stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kath. Actually, we do have a physician and an anesthesiologist. This is Carol. Hi, Carol. Carol.
Hi. I'm not. Hello.
Is it raining on your car?
A little bit.
It kind of sounds like it. Yeah. What do you know?
So I'm not an anesthesiologist, but I am a surgeon. So I'm in the OR a lot. And the propofol and almost all narcotics are actually respiratory depressants, not cardiac depressants.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is if you don't breathe long enough, then your heart will have the effects of no oxygenation. So and that's why with the heroin addicts now, they're giving the first responders Narcan. So Narcan will reverse the effects of the narcotics. So
of the respiratory depression.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And I'm sure that's what happened with Michael Jackson, that he got enough to make him not breathe. And then when you don't breathe, you don't last too long. So
right.
It's actually a respiratory depressant. Not. I heard the other caller who said it would stop your heart, but that's actually not true. You can stop the heart with certain things like, what I believe they do give for the death penalty is potassium.
Okay. And so I think they do that with dogs, too. I think that's part of putting a dog to sleep, as we say.
Sending him to the farm in Wisconsin, I believe, is the
to
preferred.
To the Rainbow Bridge, right. Carol, what do you surge?
A general surgeon.
General, okay. So you top to bottom.
What was the last thing you took out?
Gallbladder.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you do that?
Mine's gone, too.
With the little things? You don't open
laparoscopically?
The endoscopes.
Right.
The endoscopes.
Okay.
What's the biggest gallbladder stone you've ever seen? Do you open them up and look at the big stones?
Not usually. You just send a specimen.
Okay.
I kept my gallbladder stones. It was a very perverse act.
Where is it?
Well, I
you
didn't
have
bring
it now?
No, they were. I lost my gallstones in Paris, France.
How glamorous. Les stones de Gaulle, right?
Carol, oh, de Gaulle!
Thanks for the call.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Carol sounded annoyed with us. This is Neil. Hi, Neil.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right, you're a retired anesthesiologist, but you knew that.
Not an anesthesiologist, a nurse anesthetist.
Okay, so you put people down and out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so why can't we just use the same drugs we use to send dogs to the Rainbow Bridge?
Oh, you can, but you've got to be sure. A lot of these cases they don't work because the IV quits working.
Why would the IV quit working?
It's not in the correct place. They think it's in the correct place, and it starts dripping, and then they start shooting the drugs in, and it doesn't work.
Who's doing the needle inserting in the prison system? Isn't it somebody who's like
experienced?
I think that's part of it. I think they have non-medical people starting these IVs.
Probably prisoners.
That seems stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be doing this. If I'm going to do anesthesia on a really sick person, I'm not dreaming about doing it without two or three IVs in. So if one messes up, I just shut it off and go to the next one.
Now, Neil, you're retired. I think you have time to take care of this problem.
Oh, I've always said I would volunteer to do lethal injections.
You would? And who did you tell?
Nobody, of course.
Oh.
Well, the word don't get around.
Just to the world in general.
I don't tell the... And you need to be sure that the organization that you're belonging in doesn't have these crazy philosophical reasons why we don't do this. If you're going to have legal, lethal injections, then as an organization say, yeah, we want to provide the personnel to do this legal function.
And right. And to do it right.
And do it correctly, yeah.
Right.
And maybe
and quickly,
you have to cut down, you have a surgeon come in to put in central lines, or you put in central lines, so you know you're in a big vessel, that it's not going to malfunction in the next 10 minutes.
That's like what, like one of those PICC lines?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Now, what if it's a surgeon who's the prisoner who's been, you know,
sentenced
to
death? Yeah.
And then could he put his own lines in?
As long as you know it's in, sure, I'd let him put his own line in, yeah.
Well, he knows that.
So he's not only a murderer, he's an
executioner.
No, what's the other word besides sadist when it's for yourself? A masochist.
There you
right?
go.
Okay. Yeah. Neil, are you glad to be retired?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What are you doing? Like, was your golf game rained out today?
Oh, no, I don't golf. I cross-stitch.
Hi, Neil.
I thought you said you cross-stitch.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I cross-stitch.
What do you make, like, what are they called, anti-massacres or something?
Anti-macassars.
No.
Anti-macassar?
Yeah.
The
little,
you know, the
cross-stitches, little tiny little samplers and stuff.
Right, but I have some that are big. I have one that's like a small blanket.
Wow.
Right now.
So it's just relaxing for you. It's just a way to pass the time. And
yep.
Who do you do those for?
Mostly for my family.
Okay.
Okay,
and do they go, oh, God, here comes Neil. I've already got 22 samplers.
Yeah. Remember those napkins he gave me?
Neil, we're glad you were listening.
Neil, I think we have a prize of Lumel Nottis.
Oh, sure.
For $25 gift certificate.
Appreciate that.
Stay on the line. Kristen will get your information, and thanks for calling. Gene believes he has the solution. Correct, Gene?
I always have the solution.
Are you like someone who's fun to live with?
No, I'm not married.
What a surprise. Okay.
Hey, listen, sometimes the listeners, we always feel like you're part of the family.
Well, you are.
I can imagine you two girls are sitting there with your slippers on, house coats, your hair's askew, you got a cigarette hanging out of your mouth, and, you know, it's like, do you guys do
Hey, it's Gene calling, right?
Do you guys do podcasts?
You can hear our show after.
No, I want to see you guys on a podcast.
Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Go to WGNradio.com. That's as
well,
good
that's
as
what I'm listening to you on right now.
No, but go to the page for shows. Go to the page for schedule.
There's pictures of us.
There's pictures.
It's not pretty. Facebook as well.
Right. It's not
listen,
that
I'm
pretty.
An old Sun-Times and Tribune paperboy.
Oh, boy.
Back when.
Well, Gene, what's your solution?
I'm always following.
What's your solution to killing people?
When you had your own columns in the papers.
Oh, so that goes way back.
The reason I'm calling about is I'm down in Fort Worth, Texas right now. I've been retired 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And they've got the same problem about the injections, about the sometimes these prisoners don't die. They're in
Right.
Why in the world don't they just use narcotics that they get from the street, leave an overdose injection, the guy goes happily on his way, and it's not a cost to anybody?
You mean like just go down to the corner and say, I need a lethal dose of horse.
In the police evidence sections, they've got thousands of pounds of this stuff.
Well, it does cost something. That's how the drug dealers make their money.
Well, Judy's concerned about the economics for the drug dealer.
So why don't they just use an overdose? It's not painful. It solves the problem. You don't have to get any money. The drug companies are not involved.
It doesn't seem like a stupid answer. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of ways that people die from drugs, and why can't our prisons figure out how to do that? When
they're using inferior products,
apparently,
well, yeah,
or misplacing
the
needle.
High grade dose.
Yeah,
that's what we've learned.
And let them self-inject it. They'll be happy to do it.
One last time, Gene.
Yeah, make everybody happy.
Enjoy yourself down there in Fort Worth.
Thank you, and I listen to your girls a lot.
Thanks for checking.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Sure. Bye bye.
Don't call us.
We just got a text from one of our girlfriends who said, my daughter is supposed to be married outside today at Cantini. And this is our girlfriend, Bronwyn. Hey, Bronwyn.
Wow, Bronwyn.
Hey.
Your daughter is supposed to be, how many people are coming to this outdoor wedding?
144, I think.
And so what's plan B, Bronwyn?
Yeah. There had to be a conversation initially about what would happen if it rained.
Yeah, they have an indoor spot. So they'll know at 2 o'clock what the weather says. If the percentage is 50 or over for rain, they will set up inside. And if not, they will set up outside. So.
And how about the reception? Where was the reception to take place?
Right there.
Outside?
Well, no, inside, actually.
Oh,
it was. Inside. Yeah,
how is the bride doing?
She is doing, up until yesterday, phenomenally bad, but something changed, and she's doing wonderful right now. She's just really, she is the epitome of the beaming bride. She's just happiness, and she looks fabulous, of course.
Has she looked out a window?
I talked to her this morning. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Oh,
that is cool to have a daughter who can handle that, because, you know, so many bridezillas would just be all over the place.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was so weird. Like, yesterday, she just changed her attitude. It just, you know, she kind of got the what's happened is going to happen. Everything is going to just fall into place. I can't do, you know, I can't stress anymore.
Now, do we like the guy?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been together for 7 years already.
Okay.
High school sweethearts. So we're all kind of like, oh, it's about time, you know?
Right.
The only unfortunate thing is I won't have grandkids for another 45 years because that's their plan.
You mean they don't plan to have kids?
Did you say 45 years or 4 to 5?
4 to 5.
Oh, I thought you said 45.
I did too.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. No,
that's okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
So. But it's not about you, Bronwyn.
Okay.
It is when the check writing comes.
What's your dress?
When the bill comes.
Well, I'm not paying for this. They're crazy.
Is there Mr. Bronwyn?
No.
There is not. Okay. So the kids are paying for it themselves.
A lot of it,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
They did get some help from another part of the family and stuff. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now what
and
is your dress like?
Oh, it's actually, it's blue, and it's got, I don't know, crosses, like the bust area, and then it just kind of flows from there.
It flows. It's long?
Yes, totally to the floor.
Now, did you see an article in the paper this week about how a lot of brides are wearing Converse tennis shoes?
Well, it's funny because I'm bringing my tennis shoes in case it's outdoor.
Oh, did,
no,
I think
in case your feet hurt.
You could sew sparkles
wearing,
on them.
I could bedazzle it.
Yeah. That's right. You better get going. You've only got a couple hours.
Oh, my God. I'm running late, and I don't care because it's going to get, you know, I had my little anxiety and meltdown this morning. So I'm at
what are you the most anxious about other than the weather, but...
Really nothing. Just my own emotions.
Oh, you, well, but, yeah.
Like
been...
letting go.
Oh, the wedding, I think, will be fine. Everyone is stoked. They've been to weddings before. They know what's happening. You know, she's got like the day of planner there to make sure everything happens smoothly. I don't foresee any problems. Yeah, it'll be really cute when the little flower kids try and walk down. You know, the aisle.
Right.
That'll be fun. I don't know if anyone's going to break out and dance. I don't know anything like that. So I don't know what's going to happen. But the humidity, if anything.
How's your hair?
My hair will be up.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a, not a bun, but you know, those things on the back. Remember how the old stewardesses used to wear their hair?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah,
so that's you. Bronwyn, the flight attendant.
Yeah, if I was tall enough.
There you go. Well, we hope it's We hope it's a wonderful day, rain or no rain.
Thank you.
And hope you're a beaming mother of the bride.
I am.
Okay,
I
really Bronwyn. Am.
I couldn't be more proud of them, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting us.
You know what?
Yeah.
She's actually been a girlfriend. She's not all the time, but she loves listening to you guys.
She was one of those backseat kids that had to listen to us for a long time, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Happy life together for them. Thanks, Bronwyn.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Our number, as you know,
I thought you were going to get so close, we were going to have to buy a wedding present.
Oh, no.
I was very nervous.
I'm not that close. 312-981-7200.
Giddy up. I want to talk about transportation when your kid goes to college. Don't forget, we're going to do the letting go portion of our show coming up after the 11 o'clock news. I was reading an article about ways to prepare your child for that sort of sound like nagging ways and some things about their beginning at school and, you know, how they're turned loose into this world of a lot of alcohol and obviously the, you know, the mandated talk about sex and, you know, be sure you kind of vet people, you know, just don't become best buddies and go out drinking right away or all that stuff. But one of the suggestions was in this article, get your kid a Lyft or an Uber account. Now, Lyft
now,
is for sale
for,
now.
This for college age?
This is for college.
Okay, all right.
So your freshman's going down to school. They're being thrust into a lot of really intense stuff, that party stuff,
right,
that happens right away, especially at schools where there's rush or something right away. And to avoid their getting into a car, because mostly freshmen don't have cars, getting in a car with someone who's been drinking a lot, give your kid an Uber account and say you'll pay for it yourself. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. And then I thought, wait a minute, they could be going with friends to wherever they wanted to go in the Lyft car and you're getting.
Well, I guess that depends on your relationship and your trust in your kid, right?
You know, it's I think, sorry to be such a cynic, but I think it's almost naive to trust a kid thrust in that, I just think you can't trust what's going to happen because there's such a group mentality.
No, I get that. Here's an Uber account. So you don't, if you are ever concerned about getting in a car with somebody who's, you know, drunk too much or drugged too much, just call an Uber. I've got your butt on this one, honey. But your concern is that they're going to say, hey, let's go to the movies over in Urbana.
Right.
You know, come on, you guys. It's only going to be a $40.
My mom pays for it.
It's only going to be a $40
I
Uber.
Am.
I'm sorry. I turned into Ryan Lochte there. For a Ja.
Liar, liar, yeah, pants right. on fire.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean,
do you
I
think
guess
it's a good idea? And our number is 981-7200.
312 in front of it, yeah. I guess it's not that much different than giving a kid a debit card with a balance on it and saying only use this for emergencies. And then all of a sudden you see there's cosmetics from Ulta on there. Well, wait a minute. Well, it was an emergency.
Well, I think, you know, lifting the emergency word off of it, because a kid is never going to see getting home from a party as an emergency. You know, I mean, saying you have an account, and this is talking in the currency of a kid to an Uber or something, you know, which your folks will pay for.
Mm-hmm. Put on their card.
Right.
Right.
Right. And of course, if there's a lot of them, if you're going to Urbana to the movie, if there's a lot of them, you know, your parents are going to get concerned about how much drinking you're doing. Because it's to be used basically for that.
Right.
You know, yeah. to get home.
Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. Or
I'm so glad I'm not a parent now.
Oh, me?
I mean, I'm still a parent, but really, I'm not in charge of their rides.
Or their lives.
I know. Sometimes that's frustrating.
Well, the 18-year-old thing, basically, kind of all bets are off at some point.
I think so.
Right. Because do you still see their, if you're paying their college bill,
you don't see their grades.
So you have no idea until you get the notice that says they can't come back to school.
Because they never attended
because
class.
Because they flunked out. Right, exactly. So, well, 312-981-7200. This is
Chris.
Well, hold on a second. We got to get Chris away from, there we go. Chris, hey. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
My son Jeffrey was at Michigan State, and he needed a credit card to help to set up an Uber account, but and now we use Uber a lot when we go out of town. And but anyway, I'm happy just to know that he's taking Uber instead of driving. But they did need a credit card to set it up.
How long has he been off at school?
This was 2 years ago, I think he started.
Oh, okay.
Uber. And how often does he use Uber?
Pretty often. I mean, when he's, yeah.
That's how he gets around.
What do you think you're paying a month?
Oh, I don't know. But we have used it when I'm out of town instead of renting a car, and so I do like Uber a lot.
Do you look at the record? Do you look at the record to see where he's used it for?
Oh, I think my husband has, but no, it's probably just to. I mean, I don't think it's for grocery shopping. I think it's after bars or after a party or.
Okay, which is the reason that a lot of parents would want their kids to turn to that.
Right.
Right. Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks.
Hey, wait, Chris, before you go.
Yes?
When are you going to cut the kid off on the Uber account?
Well, yeah, that's not the only thing, right? Yeah, there's other things. Right, you're right. Probably when he graduates.
And gets a job.
Yeah,
because right. Otherwise.
And somebody else that we lost on the line was on the line to tell us that when you use Uber, you can get a statement with maps.
Right.
Saying where you've used it for.
Yeah, the app is very detailed.
Okay.
A history and, but he has actually his, yeah, he has, he pays for his own, like other expenses, you know, from his summer job.
Oh, he does. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So this is the least you can do.
I was needed a credit card, so that's why we first. That's why I called us. But
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Bye bye. And this is Ruthie. Hey, Ruthie.
With an excellent aphorism.
Hi. My advice. My sixth grandchild just went off to college yesterday, uh-huh. And my advice to all six of them was to be smart while you're being stupid. And
I love that.
That's about all you have to say to them, and then they say, "Oh, Grandma." And
right.
I say, "Hey,
did you
wait a minute?
Did you send us a text?"
No, I
as
didn't.
A grandma, we just got a hilarious text from a grandma who says, "This is from 847." I'm the grandma of an incoming freshman. I think a lot of problems could be prevented if I could be his roommate.
She'd have to sneak in if she'd do that. Well, my son went to a small school in southern Illinois, uh-huh. And he was on the football team, and of course in a sorority, or in a fraternity, I won't say which one it was, they were so animalistic that when they graduated, the fraternity was banned from the campus.
And
this was about 25 years ago, and I did talk to somebody recently who went to that school, and I said, "Is this fraternity back on school?" And she says, "Well, they just... you know, admitted them again." So I told her the story. And the same house in the basement, it was a beautiful house with the stained windows and all that, which I wanted to take home and bring with me because they would toss footballs in the hallway.
Oh gosh.
Their bathroom had a steel door, which was never closed. In the basement, their party room, they had an old altar that they put the kegs behind that, and they never stopped. They were always going, you know. So
to the altar.
24/7.
Yes.
There you go. Lovely.
Right, so anyway
right.
But it's good advice.
Thanks,
Thank
Ruthie.
You're welcome.
I tell my grandkids, you're going to be in a group where everybody thinks being stupid is a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Be the one that says, "Isn't this kind of a stupid idea?" And I don't know.
It takes a lot of strength
to do
when
that.
You're presenting yourself to new people right. to be the person that says that.
Oh, God. Well, it's the same thing as Ruthie said, though. If right. you're being stupid, be smart. Hey, Nancy.
Yes.
What do you know about Uber?
So my son goes to a school out in California, and they use Uber as part of their Safe Ride program, where kids, you know, a lot of schools offer that if you're going to the library or someplace after, you know, in the dark, that you can call for a Safe Ride. Well, they use Uber as part of that Safe Ride program. So within 2 miles of the university, you can request Uber, and the school pays for it.
Wow.
So what happens to the Uber driver? Does the Uber driver make any money?
Oh, sure, yeah. So you just request it like normal, and then the Uber guy gets the credit, or gal gets the whatever money that they're due, and the school just uses that because a lot of the students are familiar with it, and then it allows them to have extra capacity on an as-needed basis.
Now, I have a question, and maybe you do know the answer to this. Do you think when that's taken advantage of, which is it's a good program, that the students tip the driver?
You know what, Uber, so when Uber started years ago,
it was no tip.
They said that the tip was included or whatever. So, I mean, you really don't even have an option. You know, you get out of the car and it goes, your ride's ended, because I use it a lot as well. And, you know, you don't really have an option to give them extra money on the account.
And well, you could.
None of the kids really carry cash. So no, I don't think that they tip them, but I think that there's enough business at school that the Uber drivers, you know that if they're in the hood, they're going to get quite a bit of business. You know, especially just using it to the library or someplace, you know, after dark when you don't want to, you know, walk a mile or whatever. A lot of the kids use it, and the school supports it.
That's a wise program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Nancy, thanks for the call.
Sure. Take care.
After 11 o'clock, we'll be doing a truncated version of our annual Letting Go show for the parents of kids heading off to school, and the parents are really struggling and sad and all that.
Comatose.
Yeah. Many, many years ago, we discovered this song by Susie Boggess, and in a curious twist, her Aces CD, which this song is on, was re-released yesterday. A new version of it, which sounds very much the same, but she re-recorded all the songs on the Aces album. And in fact, on our Kathy and Judy Facebook page, I put a link to her page where you can download any of the songs for 99¢. So if you want the Letting Go song to continue your sadness for unlimited periods of time, you can do that for only 99¢. Anyway, the song is about getting a kid ready to go off to college and realizing how monumental this is. I had a conversation with a friend the other day that said, whether you're sad or whether it's okay and you're dealing with it fine, it still is one of those monumental shifts in families, in relationships, and it's something to be noted and to be honored, and for some people to be
well, I think it can be devastating for some people, and at some level, I mean, it's not an unfelt thing unless you have like 10 children that have gone to college,
right?
And you're probably like, honey, drive there yourself,
right?
Call an Uber.
Actually, Pat, your youngest grandson of how many?
Well, I got to tell you, last fall I called you when you were talking about do you tell your children or grandchildren that you're going to die? And I was given a year last November. And for some reason, God thinks I'm too much trouble, so I'm still here and I'm in remission. So
great.
I didn't think I was going to have to deal with this. The wedding was moved up the first part of this month. The oldest one got married because we weren't sure I'd be here, and the youngest one goes off to college.
And how are you doing with that?
I'm struggling because, you know, I'm their only grandparent. I've had a really close relationship with them, and it's like, how are we going to let go of the baby? And the oldest one is off, you know, he's got a family. I mean, he's going to start a family, and he started his own life, you know?
Right.
So it's like, I am struggling.
You're struggling
and
with
you're the grandma.
And I'm a grandma, yeah.
You're struggling with the idea that you may not be there for those milestones?
Well, partly, but just partly letting go of the the boys. That, you know,
right.
My life, I'm a widow. I've centered my life around them, and I've been very close to them. And so, bang, you know, they're both gone in one summer.
How are they doing, Pat, with the idea of losing grandma?
The youngest one told me last fall, I don't believe it. And maybe he was right.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm in remission. Who knows?
Well, that's great.
That's true.
But he's off to college. And he is the youngest of how many grandkids?
Well, one is handicapped and she will never go away. But so only two that really will become adults and go out in the world. And so this is it.
Well, good luck to you, Pat. We appreciate your call and we're happy for your good news.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, the question is, how are you?
Are you in a car right now?
I am just pulled up to Bradley.
You're pulling up to Bradley now with your freshman?
Yes, to drop. Yep.
How you doing?
Good, till you got me any.
Is your daughter in the car with you?
No, she's driving with her mom.
Okay.
We got two cars because we got a lot of stuff, obviously.
Sure. Is this your only child?
No. I have she's 19. She's going to be a freshman.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a five-year-old boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Same wife?
No, different wife.
Okay.
Both moms are here.
Oh, and, that's cool.
Yes. And, you know, I've listened to you guys, I think, since day one.
Uh-huh.
And I've always heard this segment, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow, someday that's going to happen. Someday that's going to happen. And today it's happening.
And how are you think you're going to be feeling tonight?
I think I'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll be okay. You know, her mom, not so much, and she's listening right now.
Uh-huh.
Her mom is probably not going to be okay.
No.
Right.
No.
Okay.
But who knows? You know, she's...
Right.
It's time to let go, but I think, you know, it'll sink in, and I'm sure I'll have my moments.
Yeah.
It's
a biggie.
Too far away, so.
It's a, as my friend said, it's a monumental shift in your family.
Is.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well, safe travels to you, Mike. We're glad you were listening.
Thank you. And your who is your screener?
Kristen. Kristen Decker.
Kristen. Yes. My second wife is now crying.
Oh.
Kristen was telling me she went to Bradley.
She did.
Just to give you some comfort, you guys, it's a great town, a great school, and you'll have so much fun when you come to visit.
That's what she was saying. Thank you.
Okay. And that'll be next weekend.
You, right. Yeah.
Seriously, go to One World. On the corner,
One World, great
on the
restaurant.
On Main and University.
Right, great restaurant. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, Mike, ladies. Thanks
Thank
for calling.
You.
312-981-7200. This is Paula. Hey, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How do you relate to this?
I want to offer a different perspective and a message of reassurance to all the parents out there. I worked in residence halls and colleges as an RA for 3 years as a student, as a grad student, and as a professional, as a hall director of a hall of 600 freshmen.
Aye.
And all I want to say is, if it's reassuring to know that you are handing your kids over to professionals that are highly trained and care very much about how the experience will go for your kids, and if that helps, then the letting go is a little less hard.
Right.
Right.
I think it's still hard to walk by the empty bedroom, and then it's really hard when you open up the door and see what they left behind.
Always.
Because
always.
It's chaotic. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's a measure of reassurance, it's that there are staff on that campus, in the residence halls and in the rest of campus, that love working with college students, care about them a lot, and want them to have the best experience. And so they're a good support for parents.
That's reassuring. It's a nice transition that you're not throwing them just out in the world on their own. There's other adults who care about
them.
And
you, the mom, can curl up on the RA's bed and just weep your heart out.
Thank you, Paula. We'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back to more of your calls about letting go at 312-981-7200.
To get ready for this day, she should be past the tears. She cries so many ways. Oh.
Yeah. We've done this for probably 23 years, something
like
that.
It's an evergreen. It's always new to the group of parents that are going through it, like Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, what's your deal?
Well, we just got in the car, and we're headed down to Washington University in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe the timing of this, because when I was pregnant with her, I had severe hyperemesis, and I went to live with my mom for a while because my husband had to go to work and couldn't really take care of me. I needed someone to take care of me, and we listen to your show every single day. She's been a longtime fan of you guys, and I can't believe that I don't know where the time went. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I can't believe that 18 years have gone by this fast, and I was fine 10 minutes ago, and then I started listening to your show, and of course...
Damn show.
Half an hour ago, I was ready to kill her, you know?
Right.
Is your daughter sitting right there?
Oh, she's right behind me. Yeah, she's in the car with me. Yep.
Okay. Can she talk on the phone, or is it all up on speaker?
Oh, no, I'm sure she'd love to. Here she is. Oh, my gosh, she's crying. I can't believe this. Hold on. Here she is.
Hi. What's your name?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Maddie.
Hey, Maddie. So you're crying? Isn't it supposed to be your mom?
Yeah, but I see her cry, and that makes me cry.
So would you be disappointed if she didn't?
No, I know she loved me, and I know that she's proud of me. And whether she's crying or not, I know she's going to miss me.
And you her?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
So do you have any idea, is your mom staying over tonight?
She is. I actually don't move in until tomorrow, but we're going down a day early, and they're spending the night in a hotel tonight, and then they'll help me move in tomorrow, and then they're off.
So when they leave you there tomorrow at your new school that have the residence assistances that'll make everything okay... do you think you'll probably text them tomorrow night or call them to say you're fine or not fine?
Probably. My mom always says, like, I'm not going to make you call me, but I'm going to miss her and I'm going to want to call her. And tomorrow night I'll call them and make sure that they know that I'm all settled in and that I'm okay.
And that you love them.
Help. Yes, of course.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Amy. Safe, happy travels, and we hope you love school.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey.
Hi. Are you the kid or the mom?
I'm the mom.
Uh-huh.
I'm in North on 65. Just dropped my son off at Ohio State.
Uh-huh. How you doing?
I'm struggling a little bit. But what I wanted to say is that... my son lost his girlfriend in a car accident last year.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a huge loss for him. And he, in the last year, has just really struggled with recovering from that. And this morning when I left, all I could think about was her mom. And that her mom doesn't have much money to send off anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Well, your dog's probably concerned about you right now.
But I think it must be my generation, because me too, when I was pregnant with this child, I was with you guys all the time, and I thought this would never happen to me.
I thought he'd be seven forever, right?
I don't know if you remember the time, Jennifer, when there was a guy that called in, and he was very weepy, and we said, where's your daughter at school? And he said, my daughter's only two.
Yeah. Second child. My daughter went to Southern in Edwardsville, and I struggled a little bit with her, but I don't think I cried the whole way home because I was so glad to get rid of her.
It's a time of very mixed emotions. Yeah, very mixed emotions.
He's doing great. He stays in his dreams, so I gotta just let him go.
You do.
You do. You did a good job, Jennifer, getting him this far. He'll be good.
And thank you guys for being back on the radio, because you're getting me home today.
Okay, honey. drive carefully.
Yeah.
I will.
Okay, bye-bye. I think I saw a couple walking by with a little one in a stroller, and they both looked so tired. And I just thought, it's as trite as can be, but it's so fast. It's just, it's so fast.
It is.
This is Deanne. Is this my girlfriend, Deanne?
It is.
Hey, honey.
Hi.
You were concerned about dropping yours off.
I did. I dropped her Wednesday. Oh.
And how you doing?
I'm good now. I was sad hearing that lady. It made me cry about my daughter. But, yeah, it's fine. I've cried at weird times. Like, I took her stupid coffee cup out of the dishwasher for the last time.
And cried. Coffee
She'll
cup
be
moments.
Back at Thanksgiving. Don't worry.
No, I remember listening to this when I was pregnant with her and thinking, oh, my God, those parents are just stupid.
And not to be too judgmental.
I'm so not judgmental now. You know, 20 years will make you a little wiser.
When you hugged her goodbye, were you losing it or were you stoic?
I was happy. And then as soon as she turned her back, I just. Lost it.
There's a wonderful scene.
I had to look like a moron walking to the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't the only moron.
No, not indeed.
What was the movie with Julianne Moore and Annette Bening as the same-sex parents of a family? The kids are all right? Is that what
it
was called?
Yeah, that's the name.
And there's a scene where they drop their daughter, or maybe it's their son at college, and they're hugging, and there's one mom on each side of the kid's head in the shot, and both moms are totally losing it. It's a very sweet scene. So, and one that you and the other morons can relate to.
Now, what are you going to do with the coffee cup? Are you going to keep it out of sight, or are you going to keep it there to remind you that she'll be back for coffee?
Well, I think I'll take it to work with me and just keep it there for a while.
Oh, that's sweet. So. And think of her. Deanne, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is John. Hi, John.
Hey, ladies. How are you?
Okay.
And how are you doing? You seem buoyant.
Well, you know what? We are taking our fourth child to college tomorrow.
You must be very rich.
Yeah.
No, actually very poor.
Now,
but
right.
Very much. But, you know, it's funny. I'm the one who loses it. And so I'm buoyant today because we haven't left yet. Mm-hmm. But when we leave tomorrow and then she comes home and then we take her to Marquette on Wednesday, it's the last one. So it'll be, I can't believe I'm getting upset. It'll be interesting. Let me put it that way. So
the last one. There you go. John, thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. The experiences are varied. Sorry we weren't able to get to all of the calls. There are those who are saying, I'm excited and happy. I'm not at the traumatic end of this. And that just speaks to the fact, as we've learned over all these years, there's a whole bunch of ways to be. And for some people, this is a really sad, tough time. And for others,
it's poignant. You
right,
know,
exactly.
It's that, 18 years is a long time to have this constant.
Right.
Constant thing, no matter what format it comes in on any given day. And then it's gone.
Right.
But not really gone, because you're going to know everything that's going on, probably.
No, or not.
Maybe not. That's worse.
Yeah. I remember one year, I remember several things from this particular segment, but the mom who said she came home and found her daughter's pajamas or nightgown.
It was her nightgown.
And she slept with it because it still smelled like her. And
remember the finish?
What was that?
That was the night. She says, I'm the night. It's summer. And she says, I'm the nightgown mom from Letting Go. She said, she's back. I can't wait for her to get out of here.
She's been her whole life waiting. It's never.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot.
bikini. Well, my goodness.
This isn't about a bathing suit. This is was launched by an article 3 weeks ago. The Wall Street Journal did an article about how cargo shorts are so embarrassing, and how and this was news to me because most of my
crop pants,
capri pants, yeah, or whatever you want to call them, are cargo-y.
Oh, that's different though.
How that is that? And I don't get why cargo shorts are so awful. Who decided that? Who one day just went online and said cargo shorts suck?
Okay, I think Kristen, it's because, okay, female cargo pants, like little capri pants, like that's cute. It's like utility. It's a cute look. Guys' cargo shorts are a little oversized. They're not flattering.
They're
and
baggy.
To me, it looks a little sloppy.
Okay, so I'm walking the dog this morning, and my neighbor Pete comes up with his dog, and our dogs like each other, so we were walking together, and he said, I'm really embarrassed, I guess, because, you know, Tish, his wife, told me that these are ridiculous looking. And I said, well, what's the matter with them? I don't notice the problem. And he says, well, they're according to her, they're too big and they're too long. And they're, you know, I got them for $19.95 at Target. And I just think I'll wear them for dog walking because, you know, she's sort of embarrassed that I'm wearing them. And so I thought, this is so amazing you're talking about it, because what I want to talk about is, has a partner of yours ever embarrassed you with what they wore?
Can it be has a mother or father of yours, or has a kid of yours?
Yes.
Or
do you remember Mike Mathis was here, and Mike Mathis said his daughter was now dressing him because found him
she's
so embarrassing.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And then he started wearing these kind of sharp sweaters and stuff. And he says, yeah, my daughter picked it out.
Right.
Right. Right. So I can't remember anything with Tom. I was thinking of
there
all the
have
Toms.
Been several. Right.
Who that has ever embarrassed me, but he's kind of a sharp dresser.
He is. Yeah.
You know, he's very classic and mm-hmm. you know, I always like that except this one pair of orange pants, but they're for Tucson and they're for golf and
Orange pants for golf.
You know, they're okay. But have you ever been embarrassed by something that your spouse, your wife, you're going out with a girlfriend and she's wearing something totally inappropriate?
I was not embarrassed, nor were any of my siblings, but we were always amused. My mom was given a two-piece outfit by a friend of hers who was from the Philippines, and it was a sort of lacy situation. There was a lot of lace involved, and it was sort of cream-colored. And I swear, and if any of my siblings are listening, they'll know exactly the outfit I'm talking about. For every event that took place, we were pretty sure that Mom was going to show up in her white lacy outfit. And she did. It got a lot of use. There are a lot of pictures of my mom in her white lacy outfit.
Are you kind of groaning? Oh, Mom.
Yeah, come on,
it's
Mom.
It's a tablecloth.
I know. Come on, Mom. I'll buy you a new outfit. Oh, this is perfectly good. This is perfectly good. I like this outfit. So I wouldn't say we were embarrassed by it. We just found it
embarrassing.
Sort of, no, not embarrassing, because nobody else knew. I mean, it looked fine on her. It wasn't stained or anything, but it was just the go-to outfit for about the last 6 or 7 years of her life.
Big events.
Right, for events, exactly. This is Gloria. Hi,
Gloria. Our number is 312-981-7200. Just to let
y'all
know.
Hi, this is Gloria.
Yeah,
hi,
Gloria.
Gloria.
Hi, I was thinking, as you were talking about the situation, I went to visit my daughter who lived in England about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. She's working for a finance company. So I specifically went out and bought a good pair of walking shoes, were white gym shoes with Velcro straps.
Grandma shoes.
I had on her coat that she had given me 5 years before when she picked me up from the airport. The look said it all. She didn't even have to open her mouth.
She's like, mother.
Oh, my God. And then I also brought a pair of her black workout pants for when we were casual walking. So I just I can't stand that memory. It's just too happy. I get crazy over that
you,
memory.
That you were so aware of her disapproval.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
But she didn't say anything.
Pardon me?
She didn't say anything.
Well, she did comment on the shoes. Mother, what are these?
Nothing good, the fellas. Right. Mother.
I said, well, I want to walk all over England with you.
I want to be comfortable. There you go.
And now she's 10 years past, and she changed careers from finance and became an emergency physician.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, for her. Good for her.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Is she any closer than England?
She's in Glen Ellen now. I love it.
That's very close. She could come over for lunch.
Yeah, Gloria. I'm in Woodland Park, so it's a bit of a hop.
Okay. Thanks, Gloria.
Anyway, those shoes and that coat. Oh, my God.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
So she approves now because I'm dressing better these days.
Thank
but she doesn't
you.
Have to dress you. That's
you look
good.
Very nice. Right. Thank you, Gloria. This is Eric. Hi, Eric.
Good morning. My wife wanted to wear a leopard skin shawl or wrap or whatever you call it to a wake. And I said, absolutely not. not appropriate. And she's a very sharp dresser. And, you know, normally she's a conservative dresser and dresses very refined. But for some reason, she wanted to wear this leopard skin thing and says, oh, well, these are in fashion now. I said, not for a wake. I told her, I said, do you remember the love, honor, and obey part? I said, well, this is the obey part. You can't wear that.
Oh, Eric. Ooh.
Love, yeah. Ew. And did she ever wear it for other occasions and you were fine with it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in certain occasions, it's fine, but not.
Not
you know,
awake.
Not awake.
Right.
Wear black or wear conservative clothes. I wouldn't wear a flashy tie to awake. I'd, you know, put on a,
you'd somber
you know, a muted sport coat or a suit jacket and, you know, pay your respects that way.
Okay. But otherwise, you're not usually embarrassed what she wears.
No.
Okay.
No. But that was one occasion that I was like, I don't think you should wear that.
Okay. All right, Eric. Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Kathy. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, me?
Kathy, you.
Kathy, you?
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Hi. This is a little bit different, but my sister-in-law lost a little weight and was toned up, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and we had a family party at a pool, and she's 65 or 66, and she showed up in a string bikini.
String bikini.
In a string bikini.
65.
It wasn't pretty. Yes, it wasn't pretty.
She was proud of what the weight she had lost.
Yes, and great for her. But it was family, you know, we just never talked about it. Mm-hmm. My husband and I had a party at our lake, and it's on a lake, but it was not a pool party by any means. It was late afternoon, and she showed up in a bikini. There wasn't
so
another
did other,
person there.
Other people were wearing summer shorts and tops and stuff.
Well, that's what, yeah. You know, yes.
That's embarrassing.
It was.
Had she taken off like 60 pounds or something?
No, maybe 15.
Oh.
It's not, you know, you know how skin gets after.
Yeah,
I see it every morning.
Yeah, it's crepe city.
Who put my mother's arm in my bed? Right. Yeah.
But yes, and no one, absolutely no one has approached her about it. And someone should, but.
She hasn't done it since.
Not that I've been around. But
does she have a significant other?
Yes, but yes. I don't know.
What's the story?
That's another story, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, she's not a person that has friends or. And of course, I guess if you do this anyway, you really there's something wrong. But yeah, no one's really. Everyone talks about it behind her back. I've heard that there's some pictures posted, not nice ones.
That's too bad. Ew.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, you sort of think, well, you know, you got to get smart about things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Be aware
but
of what's
anyway,
appropriate.
It's a total embarrassment this summer.
I'll bet. Kath, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
We'll
Bye.
Be back to more of them and some texts at 312-981-7200.
Talking about how certain things that somebody you're related to might be wearing that are kind of embarrassing. You said we got some texts.
Oh, Sorry, I wasn't on the text line.
Okay,
why don't we take a call
while
I'm looking for text?
Hey, Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We're good.
Good.
Who embarrassed you?
Well, I don't want to say it was embarrassing. It was just, I'm turning into my mother. I went to visit her in Orland. I live in Lombard. We didn't talk about what we're wearing. We're just going to go out for the day and, you know, have lunch, do a little shopping. I walk into her condo, and she has on her Birkenstocks, a pair of white capris, and an orangey tie-dye shirt.
What do I have on?
I have on my Birkenstocks, white shorts, and an orangey tie-dye shirt.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And I took a picture, and I sent it to my sisters, and I said, it is happening. I am turning into mom.
I'm becoming my mother.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh. That's and hilarious.
She's like, oh, I'm going to change. And I'm like, no, this is just too funny that we are so identically dressed. It was amazing.
Now, did a lot of people look at you like you'd called each other? And
not
there was some...
a single person.
Nobody. Not a single person?
No. Nobody knew that we were, like, dressed the same. And we talked to many people that whole day.
You know, little... there used to be couples that we'd see walking down the street where the man and the woman dressed the same.
That, you
oh,
know,
yeah,
my
we've
mother
seen,
and
yeah.
father, yes. My mother and father were like that all the time. We'd go over for, you know, an anniversary dinner, and they would be, and my mom would be like, oh, we didn't even plan it. And they never did. And now my dad passed away, and now I'm dressing like my mother.
Wow. She needed a second.
Right.
Thank you,
that's
Donna.
Right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
From 815, I never wear those Grandma Rain bonnets. Remember, that was one of our early campaigns.
We tried to
scavenge
all of those.
That's we did. But this one time I did because I just had my hair done. My daughter, son-in-law, and I were waiting in the rain at the Frank... Wait a minute. I hate it when I lose these.
Our text swing by our text swing by really fast.
Yeah, and when new ones come in, we lose them. My daughter, son-in-law, and I were waiting in the rain on the Frank Lloyd Wright house tour. My daughter said, oh, no. And they turned away and acted like they didn't know me. At 9 years, my daughter wore plaids and stripes. Now, if the blacks don't match, oy. More from the text line. A former boss was 60 and a perfect size 6. I'm sorry, it's happened again. We got to... Oh, here's a different one. Came home and found my husband mowing the yard in a Speedo. I waited and threw the darn thing out when he was asleep. 312-981-7200 are your calls and your texts about when people have worn things that embarrassed you. Okay, a former boss was 60 and a perfect size 6. She would come into my office and ask me about her outfit by saying, is this get a grip? That's a good way to...
You mean
is
like
this a get
too
a grip?
Young?
Yeah, or, yeah, you're dressing too young. I took my teenage daughter to a concert of my choice, Prince, and afterwards the younger one said, you dressed better and acted better than the other moms there. So that's a compliment of sorts. My stepsister wore sweatpants to her father's funeral. White top, purple pants. Nice. And this in response to the call from Eric, who told his wife she could not wear a leopard print scarf or shawl to
because of Obey
to awake.
And the vows.
Eric is why they took Obey out of vows. I would have worn it to spite him. Coming up at noon, Matt Bubal is going to be here. He's going to be doing the Wintrust Business Lunch, and then he's going to stick around and be John Williams for a while, too. So,
and all the time, he'll really be being Matt Bubal.
And being so cute. We're crazy about Matt Bubal.
I've got to put a plug in for the live blog, because there's this great text that says, one Halloween, 6 months and pregnant at age 45, I paid in my belly like a jack-o'-lantern. Went to a restaurant where my 13-year-old son was having lunch with his friends. He was horrified. She sent a picture. It's
I'm
in the live
at
blog.
It right now. If her 13-year-old son, who's probably, how long ago?
I wonder if he's talking to her yet.
Exactly. If he's not, I think I'm on his side.
She knew she was being bad.
Years ago, my ex-husband used to wear a t-shirt that said, party till you puke. Like I said, my ex-husband. My husband is not the best dresser, brown polyester pants, nurse-like shoes, but he just lost a bottom front tooth and hasn't had it replaced. I'm so mortified. We aren't white trash.
How about some cargo shorts? Cargo shorts are great.
Cargo shorts.
They got a lot of pockets.
Matt Pupala, are you wearing cargo shorts?
I'm not at the moment, but I love my cargo shorts. I don't care what that says about me.
What does Colleen say about your cargo shorts?
Colleen's given up, I think, at this point.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
She thinks they're
She just doesn't
iffy.
Even bother commenting on them anymore, I don't think.
She always did?
No, she never did. I think, we've been married for 18 years.
She's got bigger battles to fight with you than your cargo shorts.
I remember when we worked here a long time ago, and Matt Pupala, I remember when you got married, mm-hmm. and I remember we used to tease you because you were, at that time, the expert on child raising. You knew exactly how children should be raised. This was before before you were even married. And
I remember
saying to you, Matt Pupala, I can hardly wait until
you have triplets.
Maybe John Williams might remember this. John might remember because John, of course, had kids at the time. I just remember judgmental Matt Pupala. Well, I can't believe those children are allowed in a restaurant. Or I can't.
Was I really like that?
Well, I mean, you were so cute. Who cared if you were being
right.
a jerk about it? But you knew how children should be raised.
Did I really?
So how's that working out for you?
Wow.
And now you have one taking driving lessons.
Yeah.
How's that going?
But nobody's in rehab yet or anything.
This is
like
your
that.
Beautiful little Jack, that beautiful child.
Yeah. So he is. You know, it's funny. We're going to talk about this a little bit on the show today because when I fill in for John, first we're doing Amy's business hour, then we're doing John's show.
Busy guy.
So Jack is taking his driving lessons right now. And there were two stories, one I just read about out of China, and then one right by our house on Randall Road out in the western suburbs earlier this week, where a young girl, 15, with a licensed driver in the car. And I think this is, as Jack is driving, I'm scared sometimes and things like that, but I think he's doing a fine job. But I'm realizing how much we take for granted as a driver every time we're in the car.
Right.
How many things we are doing. Take away the phone, everything else.
Yeah.
Just what you're seeing and
aware
of.
You're watching ahead.
You're seeing all these things. Yeah. And so there was a story in the paper about a young lady who was in the left turn lane on Randall Road, and it's not a signal only. It's a green light. So mm-hmm. if nobody's oncoming, you can make the left turn. And she went out into the lane a little bit and must have stopped because she saw traffic coming, or maybe the person next to her said, stop, stop, you can't go. Somebody coming on a motorcycle had to slam on their brakes and slid and crashed into her, and they died.
Oh, gosh.
And I made Jack read that story and say, this is why not every moment of the day do I have you behind the wheel and not on every road.
Right.
Because he always wants to drive now because he's excited, he's learning.
Sure, sure.
But look at that. That wasn't reckless on her part. That was something any one of us could have done.
Exactly.
And we sometimes take bigger risks than we should, but we're so used to it and so just aware of what we're doing that you take that for granted. That's not being crazy or you don't know what you're doing.
Scarred for life.
Yeah.
And then there's a story out of China about a student driver who accidentally hit the accelerator instead of the brake and drove into water and killed her and her father and a friend.
Oh, right.
Well, on that happy note.
Well, you guys were worried. So euthanasia, letting go. Let's just keep the ball rolling.
Come at it, Matt.
Okay, so we're gonna thank everybody who's helped us have this little show today.
Kristen Decker, Bob Ferguson, Sam Panyatovich,
Veronica Carter.
So thanks to all of you, and it's all yours, Matt.
It's so good to see you two
in person.
It's
good to see you guys.
Judy last week, Kathy. It's the first time I've seen you two together since I don't know when.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Was I really that bad about...
It's not that you weren't...
That sounds
that you were
terrible.
Bad. It's just that when you don't have children, and often the people who call us and say, when parents do that, and we always say, do you have kids? They go, no. And you were just that person. And
That's
now
amazing.
You're a great dad of four children.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far.
You're working
I am
it.
A dad of four children.
Yeah. You're working it.
Well,
good to see you, honey.
It's good to see you both.